Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Oh my, yes it is. This is Tech Talk.
I was wondering where I was. Hey, oh. Welcome to the show, everybody.
There he is.
This
there
is Tech Talk.
He was wondering where he was. I think everybody else was, too.
That's Michael, Tech Talk Castle. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome to the show. Sorry I've been gone so much, having too much fun.
Wait,
not
what?
That Tech Talk,
huh?
Not that Tech Talk isn't fun.
I was going to say, come on. I can't imagine having more fun than what you have right here.
That's, well... Just a little better.
Yeah.
Just a little more fun. You know, I mean, it's a studio. It's a that, you know, it's
yeah.
It has that studio smell.
Yes, it does. I need an extra box of Kleenex whenever I come in, or a shot of Benadryl, just to, you know, or maybe some penicillin to get over the.
We can get that for you right out of the wall.
Yeah.
Our own.
Oh man. Well, this is you know, these headphones are horrible. Oh my gosh, I keep forgetting my headphones.
Train?
No. It's fine. I can hear what people are. You know, if it gets bad enough, I'll just take them off.
These are good too.
Yeah.
Sennheisers.
Oh yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. I've been discombobulated myself here lately, and just losing and dropping stuff and all that. But today's a good gadget day. We got all sorts of new gadgets and stuff we're talking about other than headphones. We've got Jeff Holovey, the CEO of iFi, is going to be on with us in approximately, I don't know, 20 minutes or so.
And what is iFi?
iFi. Oh man, I'm going to let him tell you more about it, but it is really cool stuff. It's a little, you know, those memory chips you got to put in your camera in order to store the picture. Well, you know, you put those in there, and then you got to figure it out. So, okay, you get home and you got to take it out, and you got to find a computer you can stick it into.
Slot and everything.
Or maybe you got a printer that you can do it, and then you download it to your computer, and then you take it, and then you can upload it to Facebook or Picasso or wherever you actually want it to go eventually. iFi cuts out all that middleware technology. It's a little Wi-Fi antenna chip. It's connected with hotspots. You can do it at your home. You can do it at a Starbucks. It automatically bumps it right up to any number of places that you want it to go. So you take your shot and bang, it's on Facebook.
So there's no need to remove your memory card from your camera. You just
don't have your phone.
Right? Do they make these for your? I would imagine it would work for your phone. Are they that small? What format do they come in?
It's an SD chip.
Right.
So
most
of your smartphones aren't going to be using the SD chips anymore. They're using the sub-micros. But that's one of the questions that I've got for him, as a matter of fact, is how do they see themselves competing in that market with, you know, the ubiquity of phones and how easy it is now to do it.
Yeah, what's coming up? So that'll be in the after the half hour thereabouts? Or?
Yeah, right about there. We'll have to be talking to, of course, Jay Garman is going to come on in just a few minutes. He's going to tell us about Einstein. We had a great question last week about Einstein. So we'll do that. My apology of the week. I'll start it right off is I got one of the podcasts rolled out.
Tech Talk apology.
The weekly apology. I got one of the podcasts rolled out. I promise this week, and I'll get the one from last week rolled out so that I can prep and get the interview with Jeff out this coming week. You know, it was tough to get motivated about the podcast last week. It was just me, myself here, you know.
Uh-oh.
No Dave.
This is the Tech Talk guilt trip of the week.
Yes, exactly.
let me apologize now for actually having a life.
It's not allowed. It's not understood in geek circles, first of all, and then it's not allowed or accepted.
Oh, yeah, really. You kind of think of it. You got a point. I forgot the context in which I was residing.
Yes. Oh, man. And, you know, speaking of having lives and all that, I don't know. Actually, there's no segue here. I'm just going to dive right into I'm going to dive right into the news. Well, I actually, here's the segue. Speaking of having a life, there's a guy named Gonzalez who no longer has one. He's going to be spending the next 20 years or so in jail.
Oh, more than that. That's just on one count for hacking.
Yes.
For hacking. He was nailed for hacking a number of merchants' websites.
TJX, Dave and Buster's, Barnes and Noble's.
Supposedly doing $200 million worth of damage.
Yeah. Well, he hit not only the individual retailers, but he went after Heartland, who is a credit card processing company. Yeah. So, and he was joined up with two. It was a really kind of intriguing story, as he first was with this group of hackers that were local boys. It was his homeboys, you know, his guys he went to school with, socialized with, ganged with, and they were using your standard roaming Wi-Fi hacking. They would go to the location and hack. And hacking open Wi-Fi spots is not that tough to do anymore. And these places were open and vulnerable to it, and he was able to do it. What happened then is he got hooked up with the government, and he was supposed to be giving information to the Secret Service about these hacking activities that he was involved to. They were trying to nail down the chain of, you know, having a credit card and then providing it to these international distribution houses, essentially, of illegal credit card information. And instead, he double-doubled the cross and provided the information that the Secret Service was giving him to the international hacking team.
Oh, a black hat hacker without integrity?
Yeah,
oh,
can
my
you
God.
Believe it?
How did that happen? What an anomaly there.
And everyone was shocked and surprised felt betrayed. Yes. Yeah. And
so on one case alone, he's getting 20 years.
Yeah.
And there's three or four more cases facing him.
Yep.
Of
yep.
similar severity.
Now, I heard, though, they're going to run concurrently.
Probably, yeah. Sure.
So, yeah.
Why
so,
wouldn't they?
So he's so that means...
And they love geeks in jail, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll be real popular.
Yeah. Oh, man. And, I'm not even going to go step down that path.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to do a joke about ports.
I was thinking the same thing. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, how can I get RS-232 in here? Yeah, yeah.
No, but that wouldn't be right. That wouldn't
apparently. Apparently. Yeah, anyway.
That's too sleazy, too geeky.
Too easy, probably.
Yeah, you
too,
can't combine the two of them.
Yeah. So that was, you know what, I know I've heard statistics and I've heard reports to say that nailing these guys just doesn't make any difference. It's not making a significant impact on the hacking.
You take this particular guy out of the equation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if this sentence doesn't act as a deterrent, I think, you know, maybe death.
But yeah.
Yeah, maybe death.
Publicly, you know, on YouTube. On YouTube.
On YouTube. But this guy's probably going to get, you know, 60, 70, 80 years
out
of this.
Yeah, and he threw himself on the courts. Leniency. Mercy. He asked for, he did ask for a leniency. He said he was ashamed and felt guilty.
Well, the max was 25.
Brought shame to his parents. Yeah.
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 So that was... interesting.
There's a couple of iPad news items if you're interested.
Oh yeah, what's happening?
Pretty good information that Best Buy is going to have them in stock.
Oh.
Well, not in stock, but on display by next Friday.
Very cool.
Yeah, and cool. There's four different SKU numbers for them, so there's going to be more than one type of iPad on display. So that should be interesting.
Huh.
Also. There's rumors, nothing confirmed, that they're partnering with the Gutenberg Project. You know who they are, the Gutenberg Project?
They're the ones, they're scanning all of the books, right?
Oh, yeah, all the books that are out of copyright are being scanned into digital format. And right now it's like 30,000 books.
Wow.
So
they're going to make those available on the iPad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and those are available, by the way. I think the best thing that comes out of that is publicity for the Gutenberg Project, because that's a really cool thing. I would, like 10 years ago, I was downloading books and reading them from the Gutenberg. You know, it's very very convenient on any computer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I've grabbed a few. Now I haven't. I actually got I threw the Kindle app on my BlackBerry and been using that on occasion, grabbing their free books. There are a number of free apps you can get for your desktop, for your smartphone, and so on, that'll let you grab some of these books, some of them out of the Gutenberg. There's also audiobooks you can get for free, too. There's public domain audiobooks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have the sites at my fingertips.
A number of library websites. If you're a member of a local library, by all means, check out their website. There's a huge depth of information and resources there that aren't available on the regular internet. So that's definitely worth looking at.
That was my family's springtime resolution this year, is that we, in order to save a few pennies, we have started going to the library again. Yeah. And instead of purchasing books and all that, and I was spending not a significant amount of money, but, you know, I'd buy, you buy even a couple of books a month, you're talking, you know, 20, 30 bucks a month of reading material. And you can just as easily get that at your library. Even newly released stuff, you know, you forget about it. At least I do. I'm so hooked into the bits and bytes and beeps and boops and all this other stuff that I don't think about making use of the community resources.
Oh, that explains a lot. Too hooked into the beeps and boops.
The beeps and boops.
Yeah. I think there's a 12-step program.
That's
for that.
It.
hey, speaking of reading, I got to tell you, I rediscovered, I've been a long-time subscriber to PC World magazine, and I was sometimes I just don't have time to read it. It sits there all month, and I was about ready to let my subscription lapse. This month, however, best free stuff, 112 apps and services you shouldn't live without.
Ooh.
Now they do this a couple times a year.
Yeah,
but this is the best roundup ever. I'm serious. It just so happened that that day I had a number of files to transfer.
Yeah, yeah.
And copy over. And they turned me on to an app called TerraCopy. TerraCopy. And what that does is that it's significantly faster than Windows Explorer in copying files over. I copied over 185 gigabytes in just over 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's not bad at all.
With no hangs, no restarts, nothing. It just copied right over. Your buddy from Lifehacker, Adam Pash. Adam Pash, yeah. He's got something called Better Paste, which is a copy and paste application that strips away, if you use Control-Shift-V, it will strip away all the formatting in a Word document. Any type of word processing document. So I don't know about you, but I've had lots of problems with that, copying something over, having to take the formatting out.
Oh, sure.
That eliminates it automatically.
Yeah, especially if you're taking, like, you're copying. This happens to me fairly often. Our news section on our main website has got. It uses a SQL database that you're actually populating with the information so that it can roll it up as an RSS feed. Well, if you copy and paste from your Word document into what's essentially a SQL field, a SQL database field, it's not formatted to deal with Word formatting stuff. It's just set up to deal with regular text and HTML. So if you just copy and paste it through, you wind up with all these errors. You got to go in and clean it up and the other mess. So, piggybacking on that, because that was actually one of the sites that I had up, in fact, on my thing. Now, of course, you should go to PC World and check that out.
It's actually not that easy to find, and it's actually three or four articles combined into one. That sometimes the paper is just better, than the internet. By all means, check out PC World and see what's there.
Yeah, buy a copy.
But the magazine, and subscribing is ridiculously inexpensive. As soon as I started using this, I called up and got renewed for 2 years, and that's in the publishing industry these days, that's a real leap of faith, actually.
Oh yeah.
They're around for 2 more years.
If you don't have that degree of faith, go to the library. Get it at the library
there
too.
There you go. That's another good option.
But there's a great application you can download that will give you their pick, anyways, not PC World's pick, but this individual author's pick of all of the best free software that's out there, and it's ZooSoft. If you go to blog.zeusoft.net. They have this thing called the Zoo app, and they sort it and organize it by all the different types of applications. There's archivers, audio, video stuff, P2P file sharing, browsers, office apps, and all this other stuff, all laid out, and you just click download. And on any one of them, it'll go and grab the most recent version and throw it on your computer for you. Yeah. So, you can find all that information, of course, elsewhere on the web, and especially through a great a collection site like PC World, which
or Two Cows is another.
Two Cows
has been around forever and is fairly reliable.
The thing about the PC World is good is that it'll actually tell you what the stuff is. You know, it doesn't just have a download link. It'll tell you why they picked it as one of the better ones.
You get some editorial content that explains what it's all about.
Well, we've talked to those guys a bunch of times. Lance Ulanoff and...
Your PC Magazine.
I'm getting confused now, aren't I?
Also, another PC Mag is like one of the best ever.
Yeah, no slam against PC Mag or PC World there.
They're both great publications.
Good group of folk. Yeah. Hey, let's call Jay here and get him online. if I can, is it going to call? There we go. All right. I'm trying.
Is this the suspense of live radio?
Oh, my gosh.
Once again?
Yes. Highly.
Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Garmin.
Good morning, Jay.
How are you, sir?
Hey, very well, very well. Glad to get hold of you. And we got Dave here, too, so you don't have
to just listen
to me babble. Oh, man, and I was warming Dave up with the question this week because I was excited about it. I thought he would be excited about it, too, about Einstein. I got answers back for I didn't even post the podcast, so I had live listeners posting answers to this one, and everything was an exciting question. You know, I'm going to let you recap the question because I'll probably just explain it wrong. But we'll have to listen to that. I'm not even being polite here. I'm not making small talk or anything. I'm not asking how things are going. I heard you were emceeing a kind of a big deal down in Louisville there too.
Well, I wouldn't call it a big deal. I'm on the board of the Social Media Club of Louisville, and we have a monthly meeting, and oftentimes we have a speaker, and our president was out of town on his own speaking engagement, so for some bizarre reason they asked me to run the meeting. So I was doing the meet and greets and the stand-ups, and here's our speaker, and so on and so forth, who was Hillary Topper, who's written a book called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Social Media But Were Afraid to Ask, which... It was a nice time. We had a lot of good interactive discussion with our audience and so on and so forth. We got to scare a lot of people about the time commitment involved in social media. There's always one of those at every meeting. It's like, I've done this Facebook stuff, but it takes up so much time.
Yeah.
And my patent response to that is, it's like, yeah, you put out a phone line, and oh my God, now you have to answer it. What were the odds of that? Who saw that coming?
Exactly. I was disappointed. I know a longtime listener and a good friend we just haven't met yet, Steve from St. Louis, was in the area, and I know he was trying to hook up and see if he could buy you a beer, but it just didn't work out that night. So
yeah, he tried desperately. He did go to my recommended Panera with the best Wi-Fi in town. So
fantastic! Is that the one that you introduced me to out there on the?
No, different one. That's a good one too. But there's a different one that's just literally right off the highway, a little further down, and that's one of the two unofficial meeting spots for the tech crowd here in Louisville, because it's got good Wi-Fi, and they're not real picky about whether you buy anything to get the Wi-Fi. Now, most of us of the ethical sort will always buy something if they go in there and use their power on their internet connection, but they're not at all concerned about that. As long as you clean up after yourself, they don't care if you ever buy anything. Just go in there and laptop squat all day long.
That is pretty nice. That is pretty nice.
Now that you put it on the air, there won't be any room for the paying customers.
Yeah, yeah. All of our dozens of listeners are good. are gonna en masse attack this.
You think there's that many? Dozens?
I was thinking of just the ones in Louisville, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Oh man! But hey, I'm actually going to try. Dave's here, so I've got to be on my best behavior. I'm going to try and keep us on task and on time and all that good stuff. What was the question? What was the Einstein question again?
Well, what sort of mainstream acknowledged physics phenomenon did Einstein literally go to his grave denying existed? And the answer is black holes. I'll give Uncle Al some credit. They weren't called black holes when, by the time he passed, that term didn't come into mainstream use until about 1964, and Einstein passed away in 1955. Sort of the notion of something so dense that light could not escape it came out almost immediately on the heels of Einstein publishing his general relativity equations. A guy named Carl Schwarzschild, who, if you know anything about physics, created something called the Schwarzschild radius concept. basically took the general relativity equations right after Einstein solved them, published them, and he started making mathematic proofs off of them. And the first thing he found was is that there is a line called the Schwarzschild radius, well, an application of the Schwarzschild radius, where if something has a radius of only so much and a certain mass higher than that, it will create what he called a Schwarzschild singularity, which is something so dense, light can't escape it, which is sort of how we understand black holes now. So he was, like, foretelling in 1916 black holes and event horizons and all kinds of really mainstream common astrophysical stuff way ahead of everybody else. And his sort of first model of this is, he said, what if there was, he created this sort of idealized black hole that had perfect uniform size, density, and so on and so forth. And Einstein's response to the solution was, this could never happen. This is too idealized. It's too simple. It's too Pollyanna, if you will, in terms of physics. Life will never work that way. Nothing could ever collapse enough to get to this point. It would explode or convert to energy or something. Black holes could just never happen. And Schwarzschild, he sort of had this sort of rivalry going back and forth, very friendly, where they would debate each other about this. Unfortunately, Schwarzschild published in 1916, and he died on the Russian front in World War II in 1918 and never got to finish all of his research. And so this sort of, they sort of took Einstein at his word that this couldn't happen until guys like Oppenheimer and, you know, other people like that started getting into it and really debating it. And the golden age of relativity, ironically, sort of happened after Einstein died. It started about 1958, when people really started going on, hey, this Schwarzschild guy was on to something. This stuff could happen. And all this other, it sort of blossomed this whole notion of what relativity could really mean in terms of physical phenomena. So Einstein really misinterpreted his own equations in a sense.
even when being given the answer key essentially by someone else, which may have been part of the problem.
You can calculate the Schwarzschild radius for like any mass in the universe, and people have done it. So if the sun were to collapse to where its radius was only 3 kilometers, it would become a black hole, and the Earth, its minimum Schwarzschild radius to become a singularity is 9 millimeters.
Ooh.
If we could crunch the Earth down to where it's only 18 millimeters across, it would be a black hole.
18 millimeters. Oh man, I guess you could making it that dense would be pretty tough, I think. I guess at least that's one less thing to worry about. There's no danger of the Earth turning into a black hole anytime soon.
No. In fact, only stars can do this. I mean, that we'll give Einstein some credit. He wasn't totally off. He said that nothing could ever get that small, that something exotic would happen and it would explode or whatever. But only stars can do it. And only certain conditions can stars do it. They've got to be fairly massive to begin with, and they've got to lose fusion at a certain speed and rate and drop in a certain way. And so, I mean, he wasn't totally off in saying that it's not exactly like every star everywhere is going to become a black hole. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But they just flat out saying, this could never happen. He's Uncle Al, sorry, you're wrong on that one.
Awesome, man. So black holes. I did have one person who got that right. I'm not gonna try to. I think it's pronounced Faker, maybe F-A-L-K-E-R. But you know who you are. You got it right. well done. We had some guesses that I couldn't, Customer Jones actually, in fact, even sent us an answer this time. So, Customer Jones, you sent me a huge amount of information, which I greatly appreciate, but I can't quite figure out if you did have the answer in there or not. So I'll let you figure that one out too. So what could Customer Jones and Falker or Faker and the others be thinking about this week?
Well, April Fool's Day is this week, and which means we can almost certainly expect another great April Fool's hoax from Google.
Ah, yes.
So I'm gonna go back in the bank and start referencing some of their previous stuff. Last year and the year before, they sort of started hinting that Google became sentient, and sort of they're playing off the whole classic "the internet wakes up and takes over the world" thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they created this fictional character of a sentient version of Google. and it was named CADIE, C-A-D-I-E, which has it's an acronym, and folks can look up what it means, and it maintained, you know, a blog and all this other thing. But one of the main things about this hoax, this Google waking up, besides the fact that CADIE went and messed with all the Google apps and put little Easter eggs in them, is that CADIE had a favorite thing in the universe, that CADIE had analyzed all of human history and all of the human knowledge and had found the greatest thing in all the universe. What was CADIE's favorite thing in the world?
Ooh, man, I don't remember that. I remember CADIE. I remember there was a lot about CADIE, but I do not remember what the greatest thing in all the universe that she found was. Man, I'm going to have to... Now I'm going to have to go look it up, of course. That one I'm not going to wait for. That one I'll go look up as soon as we're off air, because I feel like I should know that one. Man, I should remember that. Well,
it's funny when you find it, because it's never anything you would expect. It's sort of like CADIE is this high-minded, I have aspirations for increasing all human knowledge and transcending intellect and so on and so forth. And then CADIE found their favorite thing ever, and it's just nothing you would ever expect, which is typical Google humor.
And Google has a great sense of humor. They have done some really funny things with April Fools over the last, for quite some time. It's been quite a tradition for them to come out with something new. And of course, they did the Google, I won't even go into it, actually. I'm gonna say we could spend another 20 minutes talking about the really funny things that they've done over the last several years. So
yes, absolutely. I mean, there's a ream of stuff on Wikipedia about just all of the, because they do stuff like not just in the United States. They have stuff that's like just done in China or just done in Australia or just done in from Google's Korean portal that no one ever hears about because it's in Korean.
Yep.
But it's just unbelievable how much effort they put into this annual prank.
Must be one of those private projects that they let the guys go on.
Exactly.
So, well, hey Jay, I'm gonna close this off here. Thank you again though for great stuff. I'll mention to people, of course, they can always get more Jay at jaygarman.net and find out cool stuff and even some you know what you're up to this week and what you got on your blog posts and a lot of stuff happening in the world and around that you've been making some great comments on, and I won't tell people more than that, but they can find you at jaygarman.net anyways.
That's where I haunt the internet. That's me.
Excellent. Well, hey, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You do the same, fellas. Take it easy.
All right.
Take care, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. All right. Always fantastic to have Jay on. Unbelievable wealth of information. Something to think about this week. What is CADIE's cool or the greatest thing that
in the universe
the
greatest thing in the universe,
yes,
according to CADIE.
Yeah, and I'm gonna do this. We're just a minute or two past when I wanted to start up with Jeff Holloway from iFi, so I'm gonna kick us right now into some quick spots and things, and we'll be back in like 2-3 minutes right at you with Jeff on air. So hey, stick around and we'll talk to you in a minute.
See you then.
You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
WRLR, Loud Lake Heights, Illinois, 98.3 FM.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
The Eiffel fans are just begging for a visit from the Tooth Fairy.
Meet Derek Thompson.
Oh, what a hit!
He doesn't believe in fair play.
Meet the future of our franchise.
Yeah, is there an old-timers game today?
One day I'm going to play hockey in the big leagues just like you.
Here's the deal, Gabe. Lower your expectations.
Mr. Thompson, you, sir, are guilty of killing dreams. You are hereby ordered to serve time as a Tooth Fairy.
You can't handle the Tooth.
Who are you?
I'm the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne Johnson, Ashley Judd, Billy Crystal, and Julie Andrews. Tooth Fairy.
Now showing at the Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Speak Up America, that's a great show with Mike and his beautiful wife Cheryl Gardino. If you want to see how hot Mike's blood can get, tune him in on Wednesday nights, 5 to 7. He talks about the things we think about, and he's not afraid to talk about it. That's Speak Up America with Mike and Cheryl Gardino. You can listen to Mike's blood boil. Right here, WRLR 98.3.
Okay.
I like that music. That's great.
It's Black Francis. Little Black Francis Seuss.
Oh, my.
The Seuss. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to waste any time here. Let's
welcome back to Tech Talk, everybody.
A little echo there. I'll turn that
off.
And let me see if I can find. Here we go. All right. I was going to say, trying to figure out how I'm going to call Jeff up here.
We're attempting to reach Jeff.
We're making contact.
Wi-Fi?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yeah. I'm been looking forward to this conversation.
Hello?
Good morning, Jeff. You are on Tech Talk on WRLR.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Jeff.
Welcome. We are honored to have you. You are my sources, anyways, tell me you are the CEO of iFi. Why don't you tell us in your own words? You guys just rolled out a brand new version of the iFi product. I tried to warm people up and give them a good rundown of what the iFi does, but why don't you tell them what would sum it up and maybe what some of the cooler new features are that you're coming out with.
All right, I will. Yeah, we just introduced what we consider kind of the next generation of iFi. It's all new under the hood. That is, the card itself is all new, and what it connects to and what the user uses for the iFi experience is all new as well, the software and our architecture in the cloud. So let me start with the card itself. We call this new generation of iFi X2. So all of the iFi cards that use this new technology, you'll see as part of the name X2, and that's how your listeners will know.
Hmm.
And so starting with the card, there's a few things. We developed our own iFi chip, if you like. So inside that tiny little SD card, not only is there a Wi-Fi radio, but there's also a processor in there that kind of holds all the iFi magic. And that processor lets us do all kinds of new things that we weren't able to do before.
Mm.
One of them is it allows us a lot more flexibility around the flash memory that we're using. Now, being a good memory card is only a part of what we do, of course, but it is a fundamental part of what we do. So one of the benefits that the X2 platform offers is just more flash and faster flash. So classic speeds, keeping up with your HD video recording on your new camera or your big RAW files and your DSLR. So much faster flash memory. But, of course, the magic of what we do is much more about Wi-Fi and getting those memories out of that card wirelessly. And so we have a new Wi-Fi radio in the X2 cards. We've been able to move up to 802.11n in the X2 cards.
Sexy.
Yeah, so, again, remember that we're designing in a very, very, very small space and designing around power consumption and designing around the constraints of operating inside a camera. But we were able to get 802.11n in there, and obviously 802.11n is much faster, so users of the X2 cards are going to see wireless uploads that are much, much faster than the classic iFi cards.
Now, just so that people completely understand, the concept here is that there's a chip, an SD chip, that you got to have one in your camera anyways in order to capture the video and to capture the pictures that you're taking, and that this is going to automatically and pretty seamlessly, from my experience and what I've seen, up to your computer, up to Evernote if you're an Evernote lover like we are, Picasa, Flickr, wherever, a whole host of different places that you can set up to automatically, Facebook even, to automatically capture those pictures.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The card, the basic premise of iFi is automatically back up and organize those digital memories that are usually trapped in your camera get them to your computer, store them where you want them to be stored and how you want them to be stored. And if you're the kind of user who wants to share on the web, there's more than 25 different places on the web that we can automatically upload your photos to. You've mentioned some of them, Facebook, Picasa, YouTube if you're taking videos, and many more. And the idea here is make it automatic, take the chore out of managing your digital memories, and save yourself the time and the hassle while you're at it.
Excellent, excellent. And in one of those options, too, I believe, is you can even, if you are one of the geekier listeners of the Tech Talk Show, you can set up your own FTP site and configure it to upload automatically to an FTP site.
You're right. That's new for us. We've just released that capability in the last few months, but that is quickly becoming a popular choice among our, at least the early adopters among our users.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I know. When I saw that, my geek bells started ringing, and I'm like, oh man, that's the way to do it. I guess maybe that's kind of an interesting decision or choice. I've got to believe that you guys were hit up to partner with, say, Snapfish or one of the pay sites, the places that actually produce, or even Walgreens or Walmart, the places that actually produce these photos. But you made a decision business-wise not to do that. Was there a real motivation for that, or just not a good enough offer, or what motivated that?
We have partnered with all of those, so I guess the decision that we made was not to not partner with any of those four pay services. As an example, we work with SmugMug, which, as you might know, is kind of a premium photo sharing site. We work with MobileMe, which of course is a four pay service. The important decision for us was there was no particular offer from any particular vendor that we wanted to be beholden to. We understood that the power of what we're doing is giving the consumer, the actual user, the choice of using whatever site they're already using today and that they love, or whatever site they want to use tomorrow, and giving them the complete flexibility to choose whatever sharing behavior they either already have or want to have. So if I like Facebook for my friends' photos, but I like Shutterfly for my family photos, and I want to be able to do that, then the important thing for us was to maintain a neutral position among all of them, and really just provide a platform that they can all be connected to, so that the user can get their photos where they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important now, especially as people are becoming more and more accustomed to the idea that the things that they do in their life are going to be shared and are going to be available through whatever way of sharing it that they want to do. But that brings also too up another question about one of the functions or features that you guys have had for a long time is the geotagging, which has recently become a real kind of hot issue, especially with Twitter offering geolocation services and so many things. Facebook even letting you put that information. Evernote, of course, added location services a little while ago too. How is that integrated into the card? With the incredibly limited space, and I got a geek for just a second on. I mean, it still shocks, and maybe I'm just of the wrong generation, but it just stuns me how much we can pack into this, an SD chip. Everybody knows what size that is, and you've got geolocation and Wi-Fi and the SD memory itself and the chip and this. It's crazy. But anyways, can you give us a little breakdown of how the geolocation stuff actually works, and what is that doing, and how are you integrating it with the product now?
I think it's fair for you to be a little bit stunned, because I have to admit that the engineers that I work with are impressive guys, and I'm not an engineer myself, so I walk around sort of mouth agape around our office with some of the things that we're doing myself. So the geotagging, I mean, you're right, geotagging is a very, very important trend in and of itself, and it's certainly an important trend in digital imaging in general. Likewise, so is the notion of sort of making your memory social, or the basic notion of sharing them. I think those are two really core drivers of innovation in the digital imaging industry in general. Now, our take on geotagging is a pretty clever one, but it's a little bit different than what people imagine. So our take on geotagging is not classic GPS, right, where you've got a GPS radio inside a device that's actually talking to satellites in the sky, which works really great for navigation. It works fine if you're outdoors, particularly if you're not in the canyons of a really, really big city, where sometimes getting GPS coverage can be a little bit tough. But we don't have GPS inside this tiny, tiny little device that you were describing. What we've got in there is Wi-Fi, and we needed to leverage that. And also we wanted an experience that actually works when you're indoors, because a lot of the pictures that people take are indoors.
Mm.
So what we do is something called Wi-Fi triangulation. It's the same kind of technology that was in the original iPhone when they were doing location services before they actually built GPS into the iPhone. So what we do is, when you're taking pictures, and it's important to understand that this happens when you're at the place where you're taking pictures, not at the place where you're going to upload those pictures later. While you're taking pictures, we're sensing any Wi-Fi networks that are in the area. Now, that doesn't mean that we actually need to attach to those networks, or we need to be able to upload through those networks, or we need authentication for those networks. We just need to sense that they're present, right? Just like when you're holding your iPhone and you see 16 different networks around you.
Mm-hmm.
We capture that data. We hold that sort of information about the presence of those networks in the memory card along with your pictures. At that point, we have no idea where you are. All we know is the networks that we saw around you. And then when we upload your photos and they come through our system, we then do some processing at the network layer, comparing the networks that we saw when you were taking pictures to this huge database run by a company called Skyhook, which is the company that Apple worked with on the original iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And their mission in life is just to drive around the world mapping where networks are physically located, right? So they tie a wireless network in my neighborhood to the latitude, longitude of its location. That allows us to compare the data that we collected in the field with their database and figure out exactly where you were when you were taking those photos, and then we embed that geodata into the metadata of the photo while we're delivering it either to your computer or to your Flickr page or wherever it is that you want to share.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so you don't need to have the huge bulky GPS type unit, the type of thing that you would see for doing car navigation and things like that. You're doing a completely different way of grabbing it, as you mentioned, like the like Apple had used with Skyhook. I didn't realize that it was able to be used, I guess, that quickly and that accurately. I hadn't realized how extensive the Skyhook network collection had been.
It's pretty extensive. I think what they say is something like 70% of the populated areas of North America have been mapped by them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly out mapping, and remapping, because obviously people move and networks move. So what we find is it can be pretty accurate. I mean, they do produce a latitude longitude coordinate, and then we also embed into the file the city, state, and country. So if you're using an application that recognizes text tags in the metadata of a photo, we can include those text tags of city, state, and country so that you can use that to, if you're searching for a photo later on, you can use that kind of tag information to help
enable that
search. Or if you're sharing online, on Flickr they have those tags next to your photo on Flickr. You can see tags like city, state, and country there.
Yeah. Now we actually have some listeners that I know are out in Australia and the UK and other places. Will this work anywhere like that?
You mean the geotagging, or do you mean the card in general?
Well, the card in general, I would assume, would be fine, but the geotagging, if you're using Skyhook, are there different versions of the card that would do geotagging in other locations?
So Skyhook is an international service. They have coverage, or they have a footprint. They've mapped cities and the areas around cities in many parts of the world. I certainly can't say that they've mapped every part of the world, mm-hmm. but in Western Europe, for sure, they've done a lot of mapping. In Japan, they have done. I can't speak to Australia specifically, but I know that we just launched in the UK just a couple of months ago now. So we're just getting up and running there, but we are offering the iFi Pro card there, which does include geotagging.
Ah, okay. Okay, excellent. I hadn't looked enough into Skyhook to know how extensive their work was. That is pretty cool. Another question I have, one thing that occurred to me is, of course, everybody's got these smartphones now, and the smartphones have got a camera on them, and a lot of them have GPS built in and things like this and can do some geotagging themselves. What's going to differentiate for the user the reason why they'd want to invest in an iFi card versus just using their phone?
Well, I think probably your users have had the experience already that helps them understand when they would want to use their camera. So really, I mean, the advantage to iFi versus your phone, it has as much to do with your camera as it does with us particularly, right? And what we find by reading industry research, but also just by talking to real people, is I'm going to use my mobile phone, and I do this myself. I'll use my mobile phone opportunistically when I don't have my camera with me. I'll use it spontaneously. But anytime I'm going anywhere where I know I want to take pictures, I'm going on vacation, I'm going to the family picnic, mm-hmm. I'm going to a wedding, whatever it may be where I'm intending to take pictures, I'm going to take my camera. And the notion for us with the iFi card, you know, it, to the extent that the phone is interesting and convenient because it has connectivity built in so that I can upload my photos from my smartphone, if that's interesting to you, then we believe it's interesting that I should have that same experience, that same capability in my camera, where the pictures are much better. And for us, as we look at the mobile phone space, we don't consider that a problem. In fact, we want to encourage people, if you want to use your mobile phone to take pictures, go ahead. In fact, we have an iPhone application, so if you're an iPhone user and an iFi user, you can sort of extend your iFi experience to your iPhone. Using our app, we can automatically upload the photos from your iPhone to your computer and to the web as well. So we don't see it as sort of competitive or mutually exclusive, but what we say is, if what you're interested in is sharing, you're interested in the connectivity of your phone, add that to your camera. The cameras are always going to be better than phones, not just based on megapixels. I know phones are getting more and more megapixels built into their camera, but there's a lot of physics around digital imaging, right? There's the kind of lens that's used. There's whether it has a flash and how well it deals with either motion or low lighting situations. And there's just the physics of a phone, the size of a phone, that's never going to allow it to be as good as contemporary cameras. So it's fine in some circumstances, but when you're really capturing memories as opposed to just a quick snapshot, we think people are going to continue to use their cameras, and they want to be able to get those memories out of them easily.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I've told people that many times myself, is that, you know, it's not all about the megapixels. It's really, there's a lot that goes into making a good phone. And that unfortunately just isn't capable on a, or I'm not a good phone. There's a lot that goes into making a good camera, and this is not capable to be done inside of a phone right now.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, they're getting better all the time, and that's why we say for us it's not mutually exclusive. Use whatever device you want to use to capture in that moment, and our hope is that we'll be able to help you get the memories out of that device, whether it's a camera or a video camera or a phone, get them up to iFi where we can deliver them where you want them to go automatically.
Excellent. And, you know, speaking of that, getting them up to iFi, how are people able to get their stuff connected? I know at home, of course, you can configure it to log in automatically to your home network, and you can configure multiple networks. But say I'm just wandering around. I mean, is there any possibility that the pictures that I'm taking out, in a mall or in a park or someplace are going to be able to be uploaded right there?
Yeah, there is, and incidentally, just this week, that got a whole lot better. So with some of the iFi cards, now we have several models, and some of the capabilities that we're talking about this morning are sort of built into some of our models, and some of these capabilities are available as sort of upgrades to some of our more entry-level models. But one of the ways that we're trying to enable this kind of on-the-go, you know, either real-time sharing or essentially real-time sharing, or just being able to upload my photos when I'm on the go, is by giving consumers access, giving users access to public hotspots that are out there, right? So so where is it that people go to get to find a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Yeah, well,
when we talk to consumers about that, the first name that sort of rolls off their tongue is Starbucks.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's plenty of hotspots in other places besides Starbucks, but when you're, you know, when you're just tooling around and you think, where can I find a hotspot, that's sort of the first place that comes to people's mind. Now, we've had a relationship with a company called Wayport for some time now, and Wayport runs a Wi-Fi network all across the U.S. They have, you know, 10,000 different hotspots out there. Wayport was acquired by AT&T a little bit more than a year ago. And this week we rolled out access to the full AT&T network. That will start. We announced it this week, and it'll start at the very end of this month. So you'll be able to walk into any AT&T hotspot, which of course includes Starbucks and a bunch of other places. There's more than 20,000 of them, and the experience will be just like you're at home. You walk in with your camera and your iFi card, turn on your camera. The card will connect to the network in Starbucks. The authentication will be automatic, so you don't have to have your laptop with you and somehow log into the Starbucks network. The card will handle that automatically because of some integration we've done with AT&T. And you'll be uploading photos from Starbucks while you're drinking your latte.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's one thing I should mention, too, is that, you know, if you are somewhere where you're not able to upload pictures, that doesn't mean that the pictures don't get uploaded and you have to rely on the old, you know, sneaker net type of process. The next time that you turn that camera on, if you are in an area where these hotspots or your home Wi-Fi is available, it's going to automatically connect it up and bring it up. I discovered that when I was goofing around with it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We do find that occasionally people are confused that if I have a Wi-Fi memory card, then I can only take pictures when I'm in a Wi-Fi hotspot. And of course, that wouldn't work for most people. So the notion here is go wherever you want in the world and take pictures, and we'll store those in the memory card like normal, and then we'll upload those the next time you're in any Wi-Fi zone that you have access to.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jeff, it's been great having you on. Where can people find more information about the iFi?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, which is eye.fi. No.com or .net at the end of that, just eye.fi.
Hmm.
And they'll be able to sort of understand more about the basic iFi story and the basic iFi features, and then they'll learn more about the different models that we offer and what comes with what. They can learn more about how we do geotagging. They can learn more about hotspots. And they can learn more about a new feature that we launched that's only possible on the new X2 cards called Endless Memory Mode, which essentially makes the iFi card a bottomless memory card. Basically, because it's a connected device and we know what photos have been successfully delivered to your computer or to the web, we can keep track of that, and we can, if you choose, this is an option you can turn on or off. If you turn it on, we can automatically continually make space on the card so that you never run out of space. You never have that moment of my card is full and I can't take that next picture or that next video.
Wow.
So endless memory mode is pretty much a game changer for what you can do with a memory card.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is really neat. that's you'd be cutting out that high-end chip market, though. You know, no one's going to want to buy the 16-gig chip. They don't need it.
Well, our view is that this is not about capacity any longer. It's about the experience. It's about always being able to capture the photo and the video, and that shouldn't require 64 gigabytes to do that. And if you've got a few gigabytes that'll get you between the moments when you can connect to the net, that ought to be enough.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. Really appreciated having you on, we hope continued success for you, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll give you a note, drop you a note when the podcast finally gets released soon, too.
Great. My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Jeff Holloway, CEO of iFi, who came
well-spoken
on
guy
with us.
He
absolutely
made a good case for his product.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you don't get to be CEO without having a couple tricks in the bag there, I would guess. You know, no one's making me or you CEO.
What an interesting product, too. My mind was racing during the whole interview. What does that say for... You know, they're coming up with these laptops that are SSD based.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need, like you said, a 64 gig card or an 80, $200, 80 gig card. Maybe just what you need is connectivity,
mm-hmm.
and that'll solve a lot of the problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, so, yeah, absolutely.
Oh
boy, what do we got?
Where did that come from? It must be time for Cool Sites of the Week.
Man, you know this. Wow, no fumbling, no jumping around. I was like on top of it today. This is
sit back,
this
relax,
great.
Have a banana daiquiri.
Yeah.
And,
I already hit one of those cool sites of the week earlier when we talked about the Zeus, of course, or I won't even go back on it. But anyways, I've got some other ones, though, that are just as cool and even greater. One thing I wanted to mention for cool sites, you should go check out McAfee and also AVG right now. McAfee has got some new software out. They're calling it, I think it's called the Stinger. And what it'll do, if you've been hit by any of these malware attacks that have the constant pop-up things, Stinger's really good at grabbing it and pulling it off. They've got some new free software that'll do a scan and take care of a whole bunch of those. Also, too, AVG antivirus, in addition to their typical free stuff, they just released a rescue CD. So if your computer's completely
cool.
wrecked
with
some kind of, you know, this anti-spyware 2010 or whatever, you know, one of these that's coming up, that's a really great place to go to. And I'll put those links up. You can find them also too on the web, ABG and McAfee. Some really good stuff and free as always.
Yeah, it should be said that AVG makes it kind of hard to find their free
software. Yeah,
you've got to jump through several. Do you want, you sure you don't want the paid subscription?
Yeah.
But once you do get it, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is good stuff. And their other products are really good to look at too. And we've highlighted them as cool sites of the week. One other thing I'm going to give you though as a tip, and maybe not as a free site, but as a tip. And this is from our good friend who I can't remember the name of, Stephanie.
Stephanie's good enough for
me. Well, Stephanie, from our good friend Stephanie, who does The Fixer.
Yeah. I can't remember her name either.
She had a great comment and note in her most recent articles this week talking about, beware, it's tax time. You're going to start getting those IRS scam emails. So keep an eye out for those. Don't believe what you read. The IRS is not going to send you an email telling you how much money they're giving you. It just ain't going to happen. So if you see something from the IRS, delete it, get rid of it. Don't link through to their sites, all that junk. Just avoid it. There is another cool site that I wanted to give you here, also from someone named Stephanie. This is Stephanie Posovec. She has got a really, really cool site. If you like numbers, if you like statistics, you like graphics and art, though, too, check out Stephanie Posovec. And David McCandless has got a website called Information is Beautiful, and it really is cool. Go to informationisbeautiful.net, and they take common things and make them into these really incredible works of art, things you wouldn't really think of, but it's using statistics in a different manner. One of the things that they did is they did an analysis of Jack Kerouac's On the Road, and took each chapter as a hub and then branched off from there to each paragraph, and from each paragraph was split up into the sentences, which were split into the words, and they were color-coded based upon the thematic element that was present in each of those different layers, and came up with this thing that it looks like a color plate of a flower, like one of those flower drawings that you would see from the from the 1800s and things.
So they're taking one type of art and making another.
That's exactly it. Yeah, and they also have some really good stuff. One thing that I like was there was a left versus right world where they broke up what people associate with liberal and democratic thinking versus what they consider with conservative and Republican thinking, and compared the two. And it was a really neat little breakdown. It was done pretty well bipartisanly too. They didn't
sounds very creative and artistic.
Really neat stuff. And with that, I'm going to have to leave you because, man, it is really, we're pushing the limit here on the time. I'm going to leave you.
We've pushed past.
We're past it. I apologize. Yes. Yes. Again. So I'm going to leave you with
it's the only reason I come back.
I know. You know, I was so good when you weren't here too. Honestly.
It's rebellion.
Yeah.
It's rebellion.
So I need something to fight against.
It's just a rubble.
I'm going to leave us with Mont Marty, who has a great spring song here. It's called Set Sail. You may not have heard of it, but it'll get you in the mood for some nice spring weather, I think.
Oh, yeah, and that's happening.
It is. Yeah. It is 70s this week. Hey, everyone, you've been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 FM. Stay tuned, and we'll be back at you
Tom
next Slayer week.
Coming up next.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Lightly, have you given your cat a name yet? I've been thinking of Albert, and I've stared at the ocean. Well, this town is a ghost, and it knows who I am, and the world is out there just waiting to see. Chances are I'll set sail tomorrow, leave this harbor, sail with my sorrow. Might end up in Paris this autumn, or in Bangkok. See, I don't even care. So, Miss say goodbye, it doesn't mean forever. I'm just longing for a palm tree and for something to matter. Oh, a tea, you answer. If you go, then you go. And I've tried so to stay, but darling, our chances are I'll set sail tomorrow. Leave this harbor, sail with my sorrow. See the South Pacific this autumn, maybe China. See, I don't even care.
Thank you.